And it's just the fact that my friend wouldn't give up on me. Why would I give up on myself? Right. I mean, you know, it's just like, I thought about all those days training in under the rain, under the snowstorms, under freezing conditions. And then I just to quit in the middle of the race, I just couldn't live with myself if I did that.
Welcome to the Run, Thrive, Survive podcast with your host, Sierra Carter. Here we will untangle the madness of our health by understanding our mind in action. We will balance emotional, mental, and physical health every single day. Because some days we thrive. Some days we just survive. But together, here we will run our lives.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Run, Thrive, Survive. I am your host, Sierra Carter, and as usual, we are here to run our lives and not let life run us. Now, today's episode is a little bit different because we are pairing up with Alter Ego Running Company, which is a running hats company that makes super fun, cool, unique running hats for us runners who want to show our flip side. And by flip side, they mean the side of you that comes to life when it's just you, your thoughts, and your running shoes. Seriously, an awesome company that knows how to connect with runners. And we are pairing up by interviewing some of their beautiful athletes about their journey, their quest, and tips and tricks that they have about running. Because we all started somewhere, whether we like to admit it or not, we all started with that one first step outside, and then we somehow became addicted. So today we are going to interview Carlette, and she, at the time of this recording, just completed the Boston Marathon. Now you're going to get this a little bit after, but when we talk about it, she literally just ran it 4 or 5 days ago. And she is a former news anchor who turned to become a full-time runner by just creating content about running and all those little things that she wished she knew before she got into running. Don't we all? I know, we learn as we go, but it's definitely awesome that someone is there to help us. This time when she's run the Boston Marathon, unfortunately, she was an injured runner, but she raced it hoping for the best. And I'm telling you what, she still crossed that finish line. She's got an awesome story about it too. So as we go through this, we will discuss that journey to Boston, how she stays sane balancing family and Boston, and what it means to her as a mother runner. So you guys, I want to welcome her, and I want to ask her, what was your entry into running? Because I know you were a former newscaster. How did you become a yes. full-time runner?
Oh, well, out of desperation, actually. because I actually quit my job and my career just to move to Spain. My husband wanted a change of life, and I just so happens to be pregnant with my first child. And I knew that after I was I gave birth, I had to be back on the newscast, you know, 12 weeks after that. So it's like, I really feel I wanted to spend more time with my baby. So why don't we take a sabbatical in Spain? And that's what I did. Little did I know back then that sabbatical would take a really long time. Right. So we started a new life in a new country. For me, he's from Spain, but for me, just like I didn't know anybody. And it was really hard after having two kids, living in this foreign country, not really having friends, and trying to make my way in Spain, starting new business, trying to go back to TV. Just it seemed like nothing was working out for me. And kind of regretting having, you know, quit my career that way, committing career suicide. And yeah, so anyways, I was in a really low point in my life. I was very depressed. My self-esteem was, you know, underground. And one day, my four-year-old back then, Adrian, he was looking at the TV. He was watching a documentary with me about the New York City Marathon. He was asking, oh, the sea of people running the streets of New York. I'm like, oh, papi, that's the biggest party in town. I mean, I remember when mommy used to cover it when she was in the news, blah, blah, blah. It's like, do you ever run it? I'm like, never had the time because it requires a lot of commitment, a lot of training, a lot of, you know, it's just like mommy was working all the time. I just couldn't really commit to that. I'm like, oh, but you're not working now. I'm like, touche.
You're like, good point.
maybe it's time for me to train for a marathon. And that's what I did. I actually signed up for the New York City Marathon that year. It was in 2019. And that's what I did. I just put my mind and all my dedication into that goal. And that's what actually set me free.
So let me ask you this. Did you run prior to just deciding this, or did you run at all?
I was a recreational runner. I used to run in Central Park back when I was, I was living in New York before going to Spain. But it was like going around the loop or around the reservoir. And that's it. It was just only to keep, my fitness or whatever. But it wasn't something like, you have to do this amount of mileages and, you have to do it in a certain pace. I mean, it's so structured and, scheduled. I just never did that before.
So what was that first step like for you? Was it a marathon? Was it a half marathon that you just started with? What was that first step? Which one was it? New York?
Oh, it was finding a local run group in Madrid for me to, it was crazy. It was like, I knew there was a coach in my gym that he had a running club. So, I'm like, can I join? I mean, I'm training for this. It's like, oh, have you run before? I'm like, yeah, recreationally. So I remember going in there and they had all this lingo about running. He will give the instructions of 200 meters, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I couldn't understand what he was talking about. Intervals, progressions. And I'm like, oh, and I was just kind of following the people around, whatever they were doing, I did. So it's like, but I went completely blind. I didn't know exactly what all that was, intervals, tempos. I mean, all that lingo, I didn't know.
Yeah. And most people don't just getting into running. It's very overwhelming. You think you go from, oh, I just run a mile to, oh, what was your tempo, your pace? You know, like what was the leg turnover? And it's just, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know what that means. So what was this first marathon like?
Oh, New York City? I think New York City is the best marathon you can have as a first marathon.
I love hearing that.
Yes, because the crowd is unbelievable and it never felt like I was suffering, the whole time because it was like a big party, like everybody just dancing around. There was music and people cheering you on, calling your name. And also I had an amazing experience because I had a mentor with me who had ran the marathon, like New York City Marathon so many times, and he knew exactly where to run. Like, okay, let's cut over here to the right, or so you can see the city from this part of this bridge, or let's go under, let's go, here's the camera. So here you're going to get the best photo in the race. So he knew everything. So he was taking me, throughout the course. And it was like having a tour, of the city.
I was going to say, it's like your own personal guide on foot.
Yeah. So by the time it was over, I was like, oh my God, this is it. I remember I did it in 3:45. It was like, and it went fast like that for me. So it's like, oh, all that training, all those months of sweat and tears. And then all of a sudden it was over. So, but yeah, it was fun.
You know, we're crazy that way where we train for months just for, 3 or 4 hours worth of pain. And then we're just like, that was amazing. Let's do it again. So how many marathons since that day have you run?
I think I ran this last one has been my sixth marathon.
I think. So now talking about that last one, it was Boston. What was this journey like to Boston?
Oh, this one, from all the marathons I've done, and even though this is my second Boston, this was by far the best experience I'd had, although it was the most painful one. Exactly because it was very humbling and painful, and, I was tears through and through throughout the course. It was the most touching and humbling experience I could ever have. And because for the first time, I actually open my eyes and open my senses to what was going on around me, because usually when I go through a marathon, I'm always chasing PRs and I'm with my camera filming everything. So I never get the chance to really see what's going on until I get home and dump all that footage. I'm like, oh, look, oh, this is, because I'm like going like this. I don't really stop. And, you know, I interview people on the course. Like, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, yeah, bye-bye. And that's it.
So,
but this time.
Let me ask you something. You're interviewing people while you're running and with a camera?
Yes.
What kind of camera do you have that you're running with?
Oh, it's a DJI Osmo Pocket.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little thing like this.
I love it. Yeah, those handheld. I love that. That's so cool. Because I saw that you film most of the race. I was like, this is fantastic. You know, you can see it live for you. I'm sorry. Keep going. That was just so,
no,
such
it's
a cool
okay.
thing.
It's okay. So this was the first time, although this footage is not that great for obvious reasons, but it was the first time that I actually felt the crowd and smelled, you know, what was happening around me and hear the scream and hear my name and see the runners around me and how, you know, humbling it is to be so vulnerable. And then people just offering a hand and say, listen, I see you're in tears, you're suffering. Do you want me to hold your hand? And they were, you know, helping me throughout the along the course. And it just like, if it wasn't for all these runners and my friend that was with me the whole time, I kept begging him to leave me behind. He's like, no, I'm still here. And if it wasn't for all these people that made my day on Monday, I wouldn't make it to the finish line.
So what was going on? What were you injured? What was happening? Were you not?
I was injured. Yes. What happened was that I worked my ass off to qualify for Boston. And I did, I'm sorry, but that's
no,
what I did.
No, absolutely. I was going to get into that too, about your qualifying journey, because that in itself is, gut-wrenching.
Yeah, exactly. So it took me, you know, a lot of effort and dedication to only qualify. And I did this marathon in Salisbury and I qualified. And my first Boston was this past October. And as I'm training for this Boston in October, I got injured. I had two bad knees. I have two broken meniscus in my knees.
Oh.
So I was doing most of my summer spent doing PT. I couldn't even do all the, you know, training that is required to do, like heels, speed workout. I couldn't even, you know, I couldn't run more than 14 miles. So my training was lacking. But I was somewhat healthy by the time I reached the starting line back in October in Boston. So it's like, okay, just let's see what happens. And I didn't do bad. I mean, it was, my legs didn't give up on me the way they did this past Monday. But it was painful, but I was happy. I did a time of 3:45 too. It was like my first marathon. It was that time. I was like, oh, I survived at least. And I made it. But I left Boston that day thinking, I really need to train for this. I really want to do this the right way. And that's when I qualified again and I signed up again. And I said, okay, so this time I'm going to do it right. And I did all the hills. I did all the speed training. I did everything by the book, strength training. So my knees wouldn't give up on me. 2 weeks prior the race, I got injured again.
Same injury.
No, it was cysts that Baker cysts that formed behind my knees.
Oh my god!
So, yeah, exactly. So, anyways, it's like seemed like the stars were, you know, aligning in a way that this can't happen for you. Your ideal Boston would never happen for you. But I just refused it. Well, I'm like, no, I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm doing this, and I did a quick fix. I went to the doctor. They tried to extract some cysts, but some other they couldn't. So they injected this cortisone shot 7 days before the race. You know, these shots usually kick in 2 weeks after the injection.
Oh, man.
It was too soon. But anyways, I took my chances and I went there. My legs were numb and they weren't working. So most of the race, I was doing all the work with my hands and my arms and, you know, it's like my flexors and my butt hurts. It was a weird experience, but I did it. So I wasn't ready to give up.
Right. And looking a week, I guess it was about 5 days ago at the time of this recording. How do you feel now? How are your knees? Like, are you in any pain?
Oh, I was in royal pain. The most of the race, I was in royal pain. It was very painful. It actually, you know, I was crying most of the time, especially, but, you know, it seemed like the last mile, it lasted an eternity, and it was painful. And sometimes I ask myself, would I do it again, knowing what I know now? And I keep saying, yes, I would, because I just can't live with myself letting, you know, myself down. I mean, I had to finish this. So, yeah, no matter what it costs, no matter the pains or the tears.
Yeah. What did the mindset look like during the race? Like, how did you keep yourself going? I know people were cheering you on and staying with you, but there had to be something that you like dug deep down inside to even find. And like, what was that? What kind of, do you play mind games? Do you keep going? Do you tell yourself something?
Yeah, pretty much that. I kept telling myself, I'm a unicorn. I am a unicorn. I have to do this. I mean,
I mean,
I'm a strong person. I'm Boston strong. I have to finish this. And it's just the fact that my friend wouldn't give up on me. Why would I give up on myself?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just like, I thought about all those days training in under the rain, under the snowstorms, under freezing conditions. And then just to quit in the middle of the race, I just couldn't live with myself if I did that, you know? So I just have to reach, even if it means to walk or crawl or whatever, but I just have to cross a finish line, period. So I was kind of surprised that when I saw my watch, it was 4:09 when I finished. It's still my slowest marathon, but I kind of felt like I spent 6 hours there. I was like, oh, it wasn't that bad at the end. But it's just like very surprising. And even in those conditions between walking and crawling and in pain, I still finish in a reasonable time.
Yeah. And I know you said you have 2 children, right?
Yes.
Okay. So at this time too, I want to make sure we're not missing someone after you moved to here, to New York. What does being a runner and a mother mean to you? How does that connect? Cause I know it's like showing kids something. What does that mean to you?
Well, yeah, exactly. And I'm glad you point this out, because usually when they always support me on the course, they're always waiting for me at some point in my always closer to the finish line, just when I need the cheer, you know, like 5 miles prior, the finish line or whatever. And so they always used to see me very happy and cheerful. And always like very energetic and with my camera, hi, and the kids are. But this time was like, they saw me and I saw that their faces were in shock. Like, they're not used to seeing me so broken down. They were like kind of asking themselves, was like, what's happened to mommy? She's crying and she's limping and she can barely run. So that kind of brought me down to earth. It was like, oh, I mean, how can I explain this to my kids? Because they usually ask me, mommy, why do you run if you don't get paid for it? It's like, why so much effort if you don't, you know, what do you get? You know, like one day you will understand, you know, the feeling of doing something that you thought you couldn't do. And then that realization that there's nothing impossible for you to accomplish. But this one, this experience, I just couldn't, you know, it was kind of like, how can I explain this to my kid? Something that brings me so much joy. And then all of a sudden, mommy, why are you doing this to yourself? Like, don't do this at home, but I'm doing it myself. Right.
Right. Right. You're so like, don't ever do this, but you know, here I am.
Yeah. So I'm still have to have this conversation with them, because they need to understand that running still makes me very happy. And it's a huge part of my life. And if I don't run, I mean, I'm going to be very, very unhappy person. So, but yeah, they need to know why I was in pain and when I did that to myself in order to complete a marathon.
Right. And like, what do you usually do? Do they ever run with you? Do they train with you?
Yes. 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 We actually go to track. They don't love running as much as I do, but they try to do it like just to make mommy happy. But yeah, they do understand that for me, it's very important to show them that, you know, whenever you put your mind to something, I mean, you have to finish it. You start something, you finish it. And there's nothing you cannot do. There's 2 things that I can't hear from them and they know that. It's like, I can't. I hate that when they say that. It's like, puppy, don't say that, because that's not true. You can. And you know, that the other one I remember, but that's basically whenever my kids say, I can't do this, it's like, that's not true, because there's whatever you put your mind to, you're able to do. I mean, you just have to put the work in. And if you don't do it, I mean, if you don't reach it the first time, you try the next and so forth until you get it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's such an important thing to instill in kids. And especially when they're so young and they see you doing it, they're going to follow in your footsteps. You know, they do what they see more than they do what they're told. So let me ask you this. How did you set off on this journey to Boston? I know you said you ran it in October, and October was kind of like a unicorn of the unicorn race because it was just an odd time of year. But how did you want to get into Boston? Like, what made you decide it? How did you get there? And obviously, we know where it led to.
Well, that's the thing. Just like I set up my first marathon, it was like, okay, so this is a goal. This is a challenge for me. Yeah. And I did it. I got it. And now what's next? So the next pinnacle was being, you know, Boston qualifier. It's like, oh, let's try this then. And that's how I did it. Just working towards to be, you know, a Boston qualifier. And that's how I set that goal. And that goal became training for Boston. And then Boston became, I can do this in less than 3:45, which never happened. So it just like probably just an unfinished business that I need to work on. I don't know how many Bostons will take me to really reach my goal of 3:20. You know, like I always tell my kids, I mean, there's nothing that you cannot do.
So. Right. What race did you qualify at? And what was your time at that race?
Salisbury on NID 3:31.
3:30. That is an awesome time. Oh my gosh. That's fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, no, if you go anywhere around like 3:30, you know, you said 3:20 is your next goal. Right there with you.
3:20 is my next
goal. Yeah, that is an amazing goal to set for yourself. What does your training look like? Do you focus on tempo workouts? Do you focus on intervals, hills? Give us a gist of what your training looks like when it was for Boston, not just for a regular one.
Oh, strength training mostly. Like I said, I'm an injured runner,
right.
So I knew my limitations. And the only way for me to run with, I actually did 3 marathons last year, thanks to my strength training.
Wow.
With broken knees. So because I understood the need of having strong quads and hamstrings and glutes for me to be able to complete these marathons. So strength training is part of my daily routine. I mean, if I quit doing it, I'm not going to be able to run the way I do.
Absolutely. And that's something I think a lot of runners discount. We like to not strength train. Like maybe we can talk somebody into doing yoga, but strength training is like usually out of the question. So let me ask you this. Do you use a lot of weight when you are strength training, or do you do more body, more functional movements?
Oh, no, more body weight.
Absolutely.
Lately have been adding some weight, but it's very gradually, not to a point to exhaust your muscles. But I needed strong glutes, so I've been doing weight for that. So yes, but nothing that would actually, you know, limit my muscle mobility for me to run. It's just a matter of knowing your limitations. But I think part of the fact that I'm an injured runner when I started, because I started like I told you in Madrid, without knowing exactly what I was doing. I was running this crazy mileage in Madrid, which is very hilly. And, I mean, I got broken down easily and very, very fast. So I wish I knew strength training was part of being a healthy and strong runner to not suffer from injuries later on. I knew that after the fact, but so I'm trying to still fix that problem. So yeah, if it's something I need to recommend somebody, another runner that is getting into this, it's just consider doing strength training. Don't take it for granted.
Absolutely. Now, where do you think you're going to go from here? What are your plans as a runner to go to now? Because you've done Boston and you can keep doing Boston, but do you have anything, your eyes set on anything else right now?
Oh, the 6 majors, and I'm doing Chicago, which I deferred because I qualified for Boston for October. But yes, I'm doing Chicago, New York again, but this time New York, even though I did my fastest, I was actually a PR. It's just for fun. New York at this point is just for fun. And eventually I would like to go to, you know, to run Berlin or London and Tokyo.
Absolutely. I know the six majors. I feel like those can somewhat be untouchable, but we can get into those. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then I want to ask, before we get into our like final round here, what has been your favorite marathon other than this Boston race? What other marathon has been your favorite one and why?
Oh, usually New York, because it's a beautiful sight. I don't know. New York has this different vibe. Logistically, probably it's a pain in the neck, but because you have to wake up really early and then wait like 3 or 4 hours in the athlete's village to start. But once you start, you just like that energy that, you know, takes you through the Verrazano Bridge and down Brooklyn. It's just like, whoa, it's like That's a amazing. Huge party. And it's, the beautiful sights when you're going over the bridge, it's just like, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I always love doing New York.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're doing it again this year. So we will see you there. So finally, so this episode is sponsored by Alter Ego and Alter Ego Running. I should put that in out there. And what they do is they celebrate your flip side. And that's the side of you that comes out when it's just your thoughts and your running shoes. Can you describe this side of you to us?
My side of
The flip side of you, the side where you're just running and you're in your running shoes, you got your headphones on, it's just you and your thoughts. What does that look like to you? If you could describe that self, right?
Yeah, I just feel like a superhero.
That's awesome. I love that. That's such a good description.
A superhero that is flying, actually. It's just like have these crazy, ideas of me being Kipchoge or Chilling Planning or whatever. I don't know. It's like, and probably I'm going like a 8:30, minutes per mile, but I feel like I'm just flying down the street. But and usually people ask me this, what do you think about when you're running and you're on your, I think about dancing, like I'm dancing. Yeah. Especially when you have the music on. So sometimes that's why I let my thoughts go whenever I'm running. It's like, I feel like I'm in the dance floor dancing, which is crazy, by the way. That's what I do.
I love it. No, you're so right. Just you get that music on, you're in the zone, and there's just nothing that can get to you. You do. You feel like a superhero. Yeah. Now, the last one with Alter Ego, what is your favorite product by them and why?
Oh, I love all their hats.
I do too.
What I like about them is just people recognize me wherever I go. It's like, oh, that's a pink hat. That's a yellow hat. It's just like, after every race, people just contact me on Instagram. It's like, oh, were you? Oh, yes. Oh, because I recognize you because of their hat. And we're like, yes. So they're very recognizable. So my go-to hats are the ones that are like these solid color ones, the beautiful colors, the yellow, the I don't know how they call them, the coaster. They're like water repellent. They have a series. I think they're like green, blue, and I don't know if it's coral or orange and yellow. I wore the yellow one for my last Boston. I wore the black with a little palm tree for New York. So I was like, these are my favorites that I always use for my races.
And they match. They match the theme of most of the colors of the races too. So that's perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love that. Well, if people want to get in contact with you and they want to see your last Boston journey, because I know you've got videos up, you've got it all on your Instagram. Where can they find you?
At Carlette Keys, just my name, Carlette Keys, Keys.
Awesome. And that will all be in the show notes as well. Well, I want to thank you, Carlette, for coming on to today's podcast. And I'm wishing you the best in your training.
Thank you.
And in Chicago and New York. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, this episode was collaborated with Alter Ego. So make sure you check them out. Their link is going to be in my show notes. Give them some love and go find yourself an awesome, cool, unique running hat so that you too can feel the flip side of your running. Other than that, as always, make sure that you are sharing it with your friends. Give us a like and subscribe and leave a review if you would like. Please head over to my social medias at Run Thrive Survive. I'm most interactive on Instagram and give me some love there. Other than that, you guys get out there and run your life before life runs you. I'll see you here again next time. Bye, guys.